Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow night, the Red Wings will begin their 100th, their centennial season. And if you're looking for headlines, three 20-year-olds are going to be on the opening night roster. The alternate captains, Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider, some homegrown guys. A headline might be youth movement. We're joined this morning by the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, Todd McClellan. Todd, would it be fair to say there's a bit of a youth movement going on right now?
Well, there certainly is, but that is not going to take us to the never-ever land. We're going to need a lot from everybody on the team, including the older players, the veterans. But the youth has come in and injected a bit of enthusiasm, a little bit of energy, and the older players have embraced them.
As you construct your lines, how do you manage putting some of those young guys in there? Are you going to always pair them with some veterans? What's the plan of how you start and you position your lines?
Well, to start with, we'll pair them with veteran players. We'll have them spread out throughout the lineup. But I think we're going to have the courage to play them. They've shown so far through exhibition season that they're very capable. They're going to make mistakes like any other player, but we'll be there to help them and encourage them to get through it. But thus far, we'll see Finney with Larkin and Raymond, and Branson Nygaard is going to play on the third line with Kopp and Compher. So each of those forwards gets a pair of veteran players that should be able to help them settle down. And then on the back end, we're still thinking about our pairs, but Axel will play with one of the veterans that we decide on.
For years, Yzerman had said, hey, these guys got to earn their way onto the team. If you could just tell people who aren't familiar with their games what each of them have shown and what they bring to the opening night lineup.
Yeah, definitely we can do that. And the players did earn their way here. It wasn't token, hey, we're going with youth this year and we're going to just play them and see what happens. They earned their way in onto the roster. Finney is a speedster. I talk about him being fueled by Nitro. He's a guy that can really skate. He hunts the opposition down in all situations. He's got some pretty good puck skills and a mind. Branson Nygaard, more of a bully, a heavier set, more physical, and definitely a shooter. He finds open ice and can shoot the puck. And then on the back end, Pelika is a defenseman with tremendous vision, great hockey mind, very creative, a little undersized, but we think that we can help him with that. And we figure that all three can be a factor.
Coming out of camp, just to start the season, how, I mean, there's got to be a certain level of excitement, level of confidence. Where are you at in your terms of just how you feel about the construction of this team and the prospects of this team?
Well, I think you're always excited coming out of camp. You feel like you've had a good one. This one this year as well, we went up to Traverse City and had three or four real good days there. I went to Grand Rapids for a red and white game and then came back here and played eight exhibition games. And throughout that time, we've been able to put our structure in place. We've been able to get to know the players a little bit from day one. We never had that luxury last year. And we feel good going into the season. Now, we know we've got a lot of work to do and we've got a long road in front of us, but we think that we're prepared for it. There's an excitement around the team, not just because of the youth, but just because of the group itself. I think our team is constructed to play fast. And when we do play fast in a high tempo, high paced game, that allows us to be on top of teams and we're playing better. When we slip to that turtle pace, it really doesn't do much for us and we receive the game. So, if you want to talk identity, that should be part of it.
Todd, I think you said never, never land. I think were you referring to the playoffs, trying to get this team back into the postseason? Andrew Kopp said, we have to make the playoffs. Anything else is not good enough. Is that embraced from everybody within the organization right now? That's the mentality, got to make the playoffs?
Well, that's obviously the goal coming into the season. This, you know, I was lucky enough to be part of teams that made it here every year. It just was automatic. You were that good, that strong, and believed in it. That's obviously got away on us for a number of different reasons, but we've got to find a way to bring that belief system back into the locker room. Now, that's a long-term goal. We're not quite in that mode yet. We're still in training camp. We're looking at playing game number one. We'll have some short-term focus to begin with, and we've got to find some consistency in our game. Last year, at least from Christmas on, we had some real good spells, and then there were some ugly ones, and we've got to figure out and solve those problems, and then that may give us a chance to reach what Andrew Kopp was talking about, that long-term goal.
What in terms of short-term goals, I don't know how much more specific you can be other than just being consistent, but first 20 games, first 30 games, like what are you looking for from this team? What needs to happen to give you that chance later in the season?
Well, everybody talks about the start, and how big is the start? Is it game one? Is it three games in? Is it five games in? We've got a very tough schedule to begin with based on the standings last year and what we expect from other teams. So we're going to get challenged right off the bat. Obviously we want to put points up and we want to win as much as we can. But I think when you look at our group, we were mentally we didn't handle adversity well last year. When it didn't go well, we took water on, and it took us a while to get the boat back up. And over the first 20 games, we'll be looking to see if our group can handle the ups and downs. If we've grown up a little bit and become mentally stronger, the physicality part of it. Can we be a heavier, harder team as well to play against? Is our goaltending better? Where's our penalty kill at? It was awful last year, so that has to get better. But during that first 20 games, there's going to be ups and downs. And the big thing is, how are we going to handle it? And are we pushing ourselves to get out of it, or are we just going to wallow in it?
Because that was an issue before you got here, too. It was the previous March and even the previous March before that. And I thought you were incredibly honest in the postseason press availability with, hey, I'm a straight shooter. We can't have that anymore. It sounds like a hard thing to solve. How do you make sure this team is not wallowing at the end of the season with a chance?
Well, we hope the work that we put in from day one on, prepares us for that situation a little bit better. It's hard when you're dealing with what's between the ears, the physical part, the structure part on the ice, where you're guys have to be in position. We can help them with that, but we have to push them as coaches. We have to get them through it as coaches. They have to help each other. They've got to be encouraging, but they also have to hold each other accountable for moments in the game. And game management skills also come in. How do we play with a 2-goal lead? How do we play with 3 or 4 minutes left in a game where things are intense? Those are all situations that we have to get better at. So simply, it's just improving, but also the mental aspect of it. We've got to get harder in those in between the years, if you will.
Raymond and Sider, obviously with the youth movement, no longer classified as the young guys. What have you seen from them in regards to leadership?
Well, no doubt they're not young guys anymore. They, from an age perspective, they may still be considered that, but from an experience perspective, they've been around long enough. They've been through many games. They've seen all different situations. They know the league well, and we expect a lot from both of them. Obviously, a lot is made about Dylan Larkin being the captain, and so be it. He's a really good captain. He does a real good job, but he needs help, and those two are his lieutenants, the first line of support, but it doesn't end there. We've got a lot of guys with a lot of experience to bring at Kane. You think of the teams they played on in Chicago and the situations they were put in. There's a lot of guys that can offer, and a lot of guys that need to be leaned on when it comes to leadership.
Talking to Red Wing head coach Todd McClellan, the Red Wing season begins tomorrow night, the centennial season. With the goaltending, you alluded to, hey, can we be better in goal? Gibson was one of the bigger moves made this offseason. I think people look at it and say, I don't know if a bunch of 20-year-olds are going to get you guys in the playoffs. goaltending might be one of the big keys for you this season. What does Gibson look like?
Well, Gibby's been real good. You know, since he's got to training camp, he seems to be revitalized a little bit, excited about being in a new situation. All his career was spent in Anaheim, and things were going a little stale there for him. So he's here now. He's had a real good training camp. He fits the team real well. He's performed well. You know, the last game we gave up a few goals that were ugly, certainly not on his part, but on the team's part. That often happens in that last exhibition game. But we're confident in him, and we're certainly confident in Cam Talbot. He's had a tremendous camp, and we feel we have two guys that we can play. And like the forwards and the defensemen, we're going to expect a lot from the goaltending. But overall, it's going to be a team game. There's no way that we can individually play our way through a season and get to where we want to go.
I know that there's going to be a lot of questions about the young guys. Before we let you go, as these young guys approach their first game, their first season, what's some of the advice that you've given them, or maybe you've heard some of the vets give them about how to approach that first game, that first couple of weeks of the season?
Well, the coaching staff and the players have been very very encouraging. We're encouraging these players to go out and use and play to their strengths. So, you know, we want Emmett Finney to be skating. And we want them to be fearless when it comes to mistakes. They're going to make some, but if they go out there and they play with, you know, with the thought of, I don't want to err, we're not going to see their real skill set come out. So we've encouraged them to play free. We want them to attack the game, not to play with their foot on the brake, if you will. And we'll help them when they make mistakes. We'll help them, and hopefully they'll feel comfortable real fast.
Todd, it's good stuff. Yeah. We look forward to watching Red Wing hockey this season. Thanks for spending some time with us.
You have a great day, guys.
It's Red Wing head coach Todd McClellan.
Hey, Detroit, it's Heather here with some big news. America's best 5G network wants you to bring your AT&T or T-Mobile bill, and they'll give you a better deal. If you think Verizon is expensive, well, think again. Not only does Verizon let you lock in your low price for 3 years, everyone in the family can mix and match their plans with My Plan. And they let everyone get the same great phone deals when they trade in an eligible phone in any condition on My Plan. That means new and existing customers. That's more reasons to save, more reasons to switch. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to your local Detroit Verizon store, and they'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score report dated first half 2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid customer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. 3-year price lock guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply to promotional offers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, this news is brought to you by Randazzo Heating and Cooling and Electrical. Hey, a Detroit bar is offering free meals to federal employees as the government shutdown continues. So this is pretty great. All you have to do is show up at the Anchor Bar and show a valid federal ID. And just like that, your meal will be comped.
Cool.
Pretty cool. So the bar's owner says that we believe in taking care of our community, especially those who take care of us. This is our way of saying thank you and standing in solidarity during these challenging times. So the deal goes on now. It started on Tuesday, and it will be available for the duration of the government shutdown.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, pretty cool. Detroit police are searching for a woman who's wanted in connection with two assault and battery incidents in downtown Detroit. This is really crazy. So according to police, the alleged assault happened on Sunday, September 28th, and both were completely unprovoked. Police say they don't know why the victims were targeted, but they say these victims were just walking down the street in the downtown area when the suspect allegedly approached them, said a few words, and then punched the victims. Wild. Huh. The first one happened to a 23-year-old woman, and then a second one, same day, happened to a 35-year-old woman. All we know, there is photos of this woman. Go online, take a look. The first assault, she was wearing a blue Pistons shirt, blue jeans, and white tennis shoes. Then the second one, which took later in the day, she had on a tan sweater, blue jeans, and the white shoes. So anybody who recognizes her, has any information about her, should call the Detroit Police Department. A 23-year-old man has died after being stabbed at a Kroger in Southgate. So it happened right around 3 in the afternoon on Tuesday. Officers arrived and they found the victim with multiple stab wounds. They did obviously administer first aid. The man was taken to a local hospital where he ultimately died from his injuries. And the suspect, who apparently was an employee of Kroger, was taken into custody right there at the scene. It sounds like they're saying, hey, this was an isolated incident. There's no concern or threat to the public. Kroger did release a statement saying that they're deeply saddened by the incident. Their thoughts and prayers are with the customer, and they're working closely with local law enforcement as they continue to investigate. Man, crazy.
Yeah.
The wildfire that's burning near Houghton Lake in northern Michigan is about 95% contained thanks to some of the rain last night. So according to the Michigan DNR, the fire spread to 101 acres and crews are using drones with thermal imaging to look for hot spots. Firefighters have been dealing with kind of rough terrain, dry conditions, at least up until last night. The heat, lots of wind, so hopefully they can get this 100% contained as the day goes on. So Taylor Swift is setting the record straight and is denying the rumor that she turned down the Super Bowl halftime show because it doesn't pay. So she says she's not interested because she's just too locked in on what her fiance, Travis Kelce, is doing on the field. So on the Tonight Show this week, she kind of explained things in her own words. And it sounds like Travis Kelce would have been very supportive. Was like, this is really cool if you do this. I'm very supportive of you. But she just wants to be there for her man. Pay attention to what's going down on the field.
So I don't buy it.
You don't?
She's been dating Travis Kelce for how many years?
Couple.
How many Super Bowls have been played? What was the excuse 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Well, she did have a contract with, it was a Pepsi and Coke thing for a while. That was the rumor anyways, that she couldn't do it because she sponsored Coke.
Right.
And it was a Pepsi Super Bowl.
And I mean, I somewhat buy it. I'm sure there's other things involved, but there's going to be many more opportunities for her to be a halftime entertainer in the Super Bowl. And there are limited times for Travis Kelce to continue to be playing.
So could I read into this? When Travis Kelce retires, she will be interested in doing the Super Bowl.
Could be,
yeah.
I mean, I believe both. I believe that, yes, she wasn't interested because it doesn't pay, but I also believe that she's not interested because her future husband is playing the game and she wants to be there to support him and watch him. And
it could be as simple as she's just not interested in it. She's just not into you.
Then say it and don't make it about Travis if it's more than Travis's. It just becomes a convenient excuse. If it's more than that, then just be open with people.
I mean, it could take all day for her to write the excuses of why she doesn't want to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
She just,
she's exhausted. She just finishes Eras Tour. Yeah. I don't want to do it. I want to support my husband. It doesn't pay anything. I mean, the list could go on and on.
She's got a wedding to get ready for.
She could write a song about it. She could.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. That's Heather with the news. Our baseball coverage today is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's get started talking about the Tigers. We opened the show with them. We want to throw that back out to people and have them respond to what this baseball team is putting them through. Because, John, the phone calls we've gotten over the last month, I thought, played out in real time at Comerica Park yesterday. There were 41,000, quite a bit of orange, more than I expected. They waded through a 3-hour rain delay, and yet the environment was a morgue. It was silent. You could hear a pin drop. You had 100 Seattle fans drowning out 40,000 Tiger fans at times.
Well,
that to me is a baseball burnout that we have talked about on the radio being put out in the ballpark for a playoff game. Think about it. A playoff game at Comerica Park, that's a shell of what October baseball is supposed to be.
The fans showed up. They stood, and everything that you talked about, they withstood the rain delay. They were there for the first pitch, and they were ready to explode. But there was nothing that this team gave them to cheer about. I'm not going to sit here and say any of this is on the fans. I understand why they weren't as noisy as we would hope a playoff atmosphere would be.
Mm-hmm.
This has been an exhausting team, and I think the fans were just, they showed it last night. They're tired. Tired of watching frustrating and tough baseball to watch.
Yeah, I mean, look, they didn't draw a walk till the ninth inning. They struck out 9 times going into the ninth inning. They scored 1 run, and it was the all-important Cary Carpenter at-bat that AJ had curated, and it was a ground ball fielder's choice to score 1 run. As a fan, it gets taken out of you. I'm not fan-shaming at all. You didn't have anything to cheer about. This team hasn't given you anything to cheer about. They haven't won a home game since early September, September 6th. So I'm not blaming the fans. I'm not blaming the fans who left early. Think about that, leaving early from a home playoff game. But they were fed up. They're burned out. This baseball team has broken them. And here's the crazy thing. Series isn't over. I'm not going to declare the series over today. They get Bryce Miller. That's a favorable matchup with Casey Mize on the mound. John, they could be in Seattle on Friday with Scooble on the mound. But it just gave you a look into the soul of Tiger fans last night. They're fed up. They're ready for this to be over.
Yeah, and I do. I am curious to what the turnout tonight's going to be, because it still is playoff baseball. They still have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Is there anybody out there that had tickets and is deciding not to go,
selling them for what they can get?
And so I'm curious about that. We've talked to a lot of fans that had it on until. Some turned it off in a third. Some turned it off in a fourth. Some turned it off in the sixth or the seventh. They're just like, I can't take it anymore. And it's easy to hit that button at home. It's a lot different if you've already got tickets. Are you still going down there? Are you taking the kids down? What are you doing?
Well, think about it. You felt like you were in it. Like, once you're down there, you don't know how long the delay is going to be. Yeah, we'll wait an hour. We'll wait two. Well, at this point, we're not going to go home. We're locked in. But the game was so bad that fans said, enough. Uncle, I got to go. Get me out of here. John, it was the ninth inning, and I said, you know what, I gotta be up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave. Like, I would have loved to have been there for the entire game if they were in it. And as I'm walking out of that stadium, I wasn't alone. The streets were quiet, but they were packed, full of Tiger fans making their way to the garage, waiting in line in that garage to get out and drive home. Even while a playoff game is going on, a stone's throw away, they didn't want to be there. Wow, is that a statement.
It is. So I'm somewhat guilty of it at home where I'm watching it and I watched it to the end, but there were times where I had to turn the channel to anything else. And I mean, I was watching the other game for a couple of minutes at a time just to get a breather. And that's the issue is when you're at the game, there's no breather. There's no chance to look away. You're in the mix.
So if you were there, want to talk about what that environment was like? You watched, you listened, you have thoughts on this baseball team. 248-539-9797. Maybe you turned them off early because you just can't stomach it. Is the series over? I say no, but maybe in your heart of hearts you think it's over or just want it to be over. We'll take those phone calls too. 248-539-9797. A lot to do with the Tigers today. It's 97.1. Let's talk about if you need a new roof. It's not a fun conversation. You don't plan for a new roof. It always seems to come at the worst time and the cost can feel overwhelming. But it's why I want you to know about Shaner Roofing, Michigan's trusted roofing experts for more than 30 years. Right now, Shaner's making it easier than ever to protect your home with 0% interest financing for 5 years. That means you can get the quality roof you need without the stress of the big upfront payment. And here's the thing. Shaner's not some fly-by-night company. 4.9-star Google rating earned with thousands of satisfied homeowners who rave about their professionalism, craftsmanship, and customer care. So if your roof's leaking, aging, or you're just ready for peace of mind, don't wait. Go to MyMichiganRoof.com. That's MyMichiganRoof.com, powered by Shaner Roofing, where quality meets affordability.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What went into that decision? Were you guys talking about it the inning before, or what was kind of your breaking point?
Yeah, if we weren't scoring any runs, we were gone. And even Carpenter's one run, it wasn't enough for us. Everyone around us was so upset. It was just a horrible environment.
Yeah. No, I was down there, too. It did not seem like a good time for anybody. Other than a couple fans from Seattle over by their dugout, nobody was having a good time.
Exactly. And I saw their green pom-poms. It was awful.
Yep. Appreciate the phone call, Micah. John, it really was. Like, they chanted for Raleigh's MVP case and Polanco. But I'm like, where's this coming from? Like, this is a home game. But they weren't loud. It was just in contrast of silence. Tiger fans were just sitting. You could hear a pin drop.
Yeah. This is a very hard team to watch. The brand of baseball. And if you go back to the beginning of the season, what were they doing well? Well, they were getting hits. They were getting opportunistic hits. They were driving in runs. They were scoring up to 5 runs a game throughout the first half of the season, right up until the All-Star break. But they were also doing things in the field. Like, they weren't giving up the extra 90. And what happened yesterday? It was, and whether you want to say it was a throwing error on Riley Green, or it was McKinstry not hitting the cutoff, or it was Dingler at home, like, that was a run that shouldn't have scored, and it was a guy that ended up on second base, that extra 90 that shouldn't have been there.
How about this ticket text? It just stopped me in my tracks. I hate to put it this way, guys, but this team is like a pet that's seriously ill. You're debating putting them down, and in your heart, you know it's not great.
Ouch.
People want them old yellered today.
Okay. Well, that's yeah. But can you get one more day? Can you get another week?
John,
your beloved pet.
I don't think the series is over for all the frustration.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, you know, that's the mindset going into tonight.
But the pushback would be, but what about its quality of life?
Yeah.
But Bryce Miller's on the mound today. Tigers have the edge with Casey Mize. Win today, game 5, Tarek Skubal. Like, they do this to you. It's been a torturous experience. The idea that they'll be put out of their misery, I don't know if people are going to get what they want today.
Is that the prediction that this team will continue to torture us by winning today? If you could call that torture.
I say winning is still good, but this is such a weird, twisted experience.
Yeah.
I'll be frank. There is a part of me that doesn't want to deal with it anymore. That's probably more of a work perspective than a fan perspective.
Yeah.
Do I really want to deal with this on Friday night? Isn't that a reality a little bit?
Well, I think what you're speaking to is the baseball burnout, and it's what we saw yesterday at the ballpark, the burnout. This is a playoff game going on in front of you. You've paid money. You've sat through a rain delay 3 hours. You're here. It's happening. And you can't muster enough energy to care, and you're leaving early. And it's not your fault as a fan. I want to be clear on that. It's the team's fault for doing it to you.
Yeah, last night specifically, I just can't get past the fact that you went, their 3-4-5 hitters went 0-14, and you gave up 8 runs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, it is crazy.
John is saying we need to get to Pedro.
Yeah, I want to hear what he has to say.
Pedro, what's up?
All right, I got a question. Does this make me a bad fan that I literally turned the game off after the third inning?
Oh,
it was 2-0. I had no faith in us scoring two runs, and that really wasn't the biggest one because maybe we can muster up two runs, but we weren't going to stop Seattle from scoring more runs. And like, I know you're saying we have the edge today with their pitcher. Do we have an edge on any pitcher? I mean, I feel like you and I could go out there and pitch and probably, you know, limit them to three or four runs.
Pedro, we had a guy text in and say if they didn't have a bat in their hand, it'd be the same result.
Yeah, and Pedro, no, it does not make you a bad fan because I didn't do it at that time, but I felt like down 2-0, it kind of felt like that's all that Seattle was going to need.
Yeah, and you could tell Jack Flaherty was going to get hit that game. So you just knew that two wasn't their final number, and even if it was enough to beat us. It was just so depressing.
And shortly after, I mean, you missed Tommy Canley being the first reliever in. I'm sure that didn't do anything to calm people down. You start thinking this is going to get out of hand.
Well, and it's all the things that you did in the Cleveland series, right? We had the guy that ate gummies in game one, didn't two, they lost, and then decided I'm going to eat gummies again. Like it was the story I shared about Lisa and I muting, and we were. We were laying in bed watching the game, and we thought, maybe this is the time we should mute it. And then we both kind of looked at each other like, nah, we're not really feeling it. So we can't, don't want to have the hollow response. And that's kind of, we have no impact on the game, but it's that feeling that fans have of complete helplessness.
Let's get back to the people. Keith in Oak Park, you're on 97.1.
Hi, I'm hoping for better results today. I'm pulling my grandson out of school. I'm taking him to the game. I bought the tickets on Monday, and, you know, I'm just hoping we can at least extend it, at least till Friday anyway. He's never been to a playoff game before. He's 9 years old. I'm all excited to put this. When I bought the tickets Monday, I was all excited to take them. I'm still excited to take them, but I would have felt a lot better had the game gone better last night. And I just wanted to mention that.
Well, Keith, good for you. That's going to be a great experience. No matter what happens, it's going to be a great experience with your grandson.
It's just making memories. At the end of the day, that's what it is. What he doesn't know yet is I'm also taking him to the hockey game Saturday.
Against the Maple Leafs.
For a fun week.
There you go.
Wow, man. You're going to be number one in his life. That's for sure.
I hope so. Anyway, guys, you have a great day. Go Tigers. Let's hope for better results today.
Yeah, and go Wings.
Thanks, Keith. Here's the problem, and I'm not at all taking away. It's a very thoughtful gesture. It's a good idea. Try to get your family involved in baseball.
It's a great idea.
Is it the best introduction to go to a morgue? What do you want to say, Sam? Is this the way to sell someone on what? Because this is a shell of what playoff baseball is in Detroit. This is not a true representation of what playoff baseball can be in Detroit.
At nine, going to the ballpark is always a great thing. Yes.
Yeah. Put yourself in a nine-year-old shoe. You got to have that perspective.
Yeah, and the nine-year-old's not going to sit there and go, wow, it should be louder today.
I mean, during their, quote, rally last night in the ninth inning, they were showing kids in the stands dancing and stuff. Let a nine-year-old have fun.
I didn't say don't go, but this is not a true representation of what playoff baseball in Detroit is.
Right, but maybe that guy has changed the energy. It got me to thinking here. So he's going to go to the Toronto game on Saturday, too.
Yeah.
Then the Tigers will play Toronto on Sunday and Monday, and the Red Wings also play at Toronto at 4 o'clock on Monday, Canadian Thanksgiving. Is that what's going to happen here?
At this point, who knows?
You're doing the fan thing, right? You're manufacturing a way that this gets better.
And not on the field.
Not on the field, but hey, but the results, it just has to be one more run than Seattle.
All we were missing was the love of baseball from a nine-year-old boy.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing this team was missing.
Got it.
Let's get back to the people. Mike and Troy. Mike, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Good morning. A friend of ours works at Fox 2 Ole Miss team. Said it's going to be delayed, 6, 7 o'clock. We left the house at 6 o'clock. Wife and I worked the full day. I feel for all the people down there. And it was lifeless last night. Of course, we stayed for the whole game, guys, because she did not want to leave. But we're going today. But I don't think they're winning today, guys. They look lifeless. And see, like Tom said, the 3, 4, 5 hitters went 0-for-14.
Yeah.
It's. I think they're done. It's playoff. But people were leaving, Jim, like you said, and there was no atmosphere there last night. It was very embarrassing for a playoff game. Yeah, and they didn't give us anything to cheer for.
No, they didn't. I'm not blaming you or any of the fans. Like, you were there. You know what you're talking about. It was depressing. Ticket text 248-539-9797. Text says, I waited out the rain delay, walked into the park at 5:20. No hits, no freaking towel. They were all out. We waited an hour and a half before first pitch. The orange out was a failure. Tech says, as a partial season ticket holder, I'm so glad I decided not to pay the inflated prices for that S show, signed Sam. This is an embarrassment of a baseball roster. Whole fake playoff run was a monumental waste of time. Another one, I hate this team. Hate, period. They don't do anything well. They built a huge lead, credit to them, but water found its level and they're simply not good. There is a lot of baseball burnout and a lot of venting and a lot of people who want to jump in on the phones today. We are jam-packed. We're going to work through all of you guys. It's 97.1.
FanDuel's getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you don't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you simply win. That's right. Pick a bet $5. And if you win, you're going to unlock $300 in bonus bets to use anywhere across the app that you want. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, whatever you want. FanDuel's got you covered, and we are entering week 6. So what have you been waiting for? Now's the time to jump in. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download the FanDuel app to get started today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Dan Dickerson on the call. Game 4 today, 3:08. Bryce Miller, Casey Mize. Pitching matchup brought to you by Old National Bank. We'll get right back to the phone calls because a lot of you have a lot to say. Our questions are very simple. Are you burned out from this baseball team? Because last night's environment was lifeless. And is the series over? A lot of people have said they want it to be over. Is the series over? And we want to know about your relationship with this ball club because that's a shell of what October baseball can and should look like in Detroit. Let's get to Nick in Port Huron. Nick, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was in attendance at the game last night, and I've been to a good amount of regular season games this year, and being a playoff game, you'd think the crowd would have a little bit of life. I saw more life and emotion out of a Sunday 1 o'clock game than a playoff game. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's disappointing, but the team didn't give you anything to get behind. Like, the fans were ready. I mean, did you feel it when you were there? Like, the fans were ready to explode. There just wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Until that Dingler error where he let the ball through his legs, they scored a run. The crowd was jumping, then it just died. Everything died after they let up the two runs. And another point I want to make here, we had a decent view of where Chris Illich was sitting. That guy was up and out of there by the top of the fifth inning. What's that say about the owner and his care for the team?
I don't know. I mean, if he wasn't sitting in his seat, I don't know where he was. I don't know. It's not a good look.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
but
I don't.
So I didn't see that either. In terms of the energy in the park, we did get a text there that they said the energy was there early and that there were Javi chants. And then it's the second they gave up runs and it took the life out of it because people don't have any optimism about the offense. And
right.
There was the only other moment after that was the Carpenter at bat. What was that, fourth or fifth inning, whatever?
I think fifth inning.
Yeah. And then after that, it was nothing. I mean, what do you expect out of people? I don't. We all see what we're seeing here. I will make the point I made yesterday again. The Lions look the part. The Tigers do not look the part. It looks like it's smoke and mirrors.
Let's get to Sam and Howell. Sam, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. What's going on this morning?
What's up?
I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of done with these burnout fans. Like, I get it. It's 162 games. We've been sucking. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say we haven't been playing good baseball. We haven't been. But, I mean, we're in October, man. That's what you play 162 games for. Again, I get it. They didn't do much to, make us, make the fans cheer. I was sitting, on my TV complaining and whatnot, but it's still just like Have a little faith, man. If you don't want to root for him, you know, in October, like, why are you even watching, man?
Well,
like,
I think they want to, Sam. I think that's the thing. They want to root for their team. They showed
up. It was
up,
a sellout.
Like, 41,000 people didn't show up on accident. They paid money. They wanted to go there and root for their team. They sat through 2 hours and 53 minutes of a rain delay. They wanted to root for their team. I'm not really sure that they were given a single chance to. I mean, the only run they scored before the ninth, most people had already left, was a ground ball fielder's choice. That's not exactly an on-your-feet cheering kind of moment.
No, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, it really wasn't. They didn't give us much to cheer about. But like you said, ninth inning, everyone was leaving. Like, guys, what are we doing, man? What kind of a fan base just leaves in the ninth inning in October? Like, come on. Like,
a team,
you're going to do that, man. Like, I don't know.
I agree. It's startling. But I think it just puts even more of a statement as to the damage the team has done to its fans. Because you're right, no ordinary sports city, let alone a great sports city like Detroit, are you going to have fans leaving early from a playoff game. But the fans had been beaten down so badly, there was no belief that this team would score any runs. And you know what? They were right. They didn't mount. It was kind of a half-hearted comeback. They didn't come back and win the game. The fans who chose to save 20 minutes of their day made the right call because the team wasn't worth their time. And that's the problem. Not the fans. The problem is that the team has created that relationship with its fans.
Right. And I mean, the fans were there. They sat there. They stayed through the three-hour delay. They were ready to explode. They just needed a moment. They needed something to cheer for.
If Kerry Carpenter had hit a three-run homer to make it 4-3.
It completely changes everything.
Hey, let's lock in, baby.
But I mean, I understand anyone who said, and we had the one caller who said after, you know, it was 2-0. Like, I turned it off. I understand that. Kind of had the same feeling. I'm like, I don't know that, even though it's only two runs, and we lived through game three of the Cleveland series where you had the one inning, but the odds aren't in your favor that this lineup is going to all of a sudden find a way to make anything happen.
68 strikeouts through six playoff games. They had nine yesterday, didn't draw a walk until the ninth inning when they were down 8-1. I just don't know what fans were supposed to do. Like, fake it? Stand and cheer while we're watching Cal Raleigh hit a home run, while J.P. Crawford goes yard, while Eugenio Suarez hits a home run. How's that for some irony? And I know he hasn't been good since the deadline, but you acquire a player like that for a moment like that on a day where the Tigers can't muster anything. Ticket Texter says, did you guys hear the national announcers talk about the Mariners and what they did at the deadline? They said, quote, they saw a vulnerable and open American League and went for it. Extra salt in the wound. How about this? Three relievers the Yankees acquired from the deadline shut down Toronto, including a five-out save from David Bednar last night. More salt in the wound. Let's get to Tim in Toledo. Tim, you have an analogy. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm an eternal optimist, usually. And so I tend to look at everything through sometimes rose-colored glasses. At least that's what my wife and therapist tell me. But the only analogy I can liken last night to, trying to hope that and watch and know that it's not going to happen, that the Tigers would have an actually a quality at bat, at least a couple. I'm not sure they had more than a couple,
right?
If any. And I feel like that is the only thing I can compare that to would be like watching your family die slowly of starvation and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. You are just begging and hoping that the situation will change, and you just believe that it's not going to happen. It's going to end in death. And all the analogies today, I feel like it's like being at a morgue. It's lifeless. This thing's dead, man. We know it.
Well,
we know it deep down inside. We want to have hope because we're fans, but we know it.
If you're keeping score at home, we've had the comparison to a dying family member of starvation and a pet that needs to be put down and out of its misery. If you want an idea of where Tiger fans are at this morning, that's a pretty good snapshot. John, that's what we're getting today.
Yeah, it's...
And that's, by the way, the vibe of last night.
It is. But you woke up today,
I know,
and there's still a game to play.
I'll ask you, is the series over?
No.
I agree, it's not over.
It's not, and I do believe that fans will again show up today.
Yep.
And just waiting for something to happen and something to cheer about. And if it doesn't happen, hey, we will wake up tomorrow and start talking about next year.
I think people are ready for it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the team is. Again, Bryce Miller, a 5.6 ERA, his second time through the order. Opponents have a 9.20 OPS against him. Maybe it's a short leash for him, but it's right there for Detroit to win game four at home, mm-hmm. then get Scooble in game five and do it to us, John. Hey, come on. Score two runs. We got Scooble. Oh, boy. All right. More of your phone calls, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.